ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। It's a pleasure to be here at the lotus feet of Shri Shri Radha Rasa Bihari and their devotees. Please give me your blessings so I can advance in devotional service. We can see from this pastime. Anyway, I'll speak about that after we read the verse. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 12th chapter, text number 35. Ritasya deha niskrantam atma jyotir arindama pashatam sab devanam alokam samapadyata. Vritasya dehan niskantam atma jyotir arindama pashatam sarvadevanam alokam samapadyata. Vritasya dehan niskantam atma jyotir arindama pashatam sarva devanam alokam samapadyata. Tasya deha niskantam atma jyotir arindama Shatam Sarva Devanam Mukam Samapadjita. Shatam Sarva Devanam Nishadeha niskantam atma jyotir arindama sarva devanam Arindama Vasyatam Sarva Devanam Alokam Samapadyata. Vaishnavis, Vritasya of Vritrasura. Dehat, from the body. Niskantam, coming out. Atmajyoti, the spirit soul, which was as brilliant as the effulgence of Brahman. Arindama, O King Parikshit, subduer of enemies. Pashatam, we're watching. Sarvadevanam, while all the demigods. Alokam, the supreme abode, filled with the Brahman effulgence. Samapadyata, achieved. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O King Parikshit, subduer of the of enemies. The living spark then came forth from Brihaspati's body and returned home back to Godhead. While all the demigods looked on, he entered the transcendental world to become an associate of Lord Sankarshan. Everyone can please repeat. O King Parikshit, subduer of enemies, the living spark then came forth from Brihaspati's body and returned home back to Godhead. While all the demigods looked on, he entered the transcendental world to become an associate of Lord Sankarshan. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Indra, not Brihaspati, was actually killed. He says that when Brihaspati swallowed King Indra and his carrier, the elephant, he thought, "Now I have killed Indra, and therefore there is no more need of fighting. Now let me return home back to Godhead." Thus he stopped all his bodily activities and became situated in trance. Taking advantage of the silence of Brihaspati's body, Indra pierced the demon's abdomen. And because of Brihaspati's trance, Indra was able to come out. Now Brihaspati was in yoga samadhi, and therefore, although King Indra wanted to cut his throat, the demon's neck was so stiff that Indra's thunderbolt took 360 days to cut it to pieces. Actually, it was the body left by Brihaspati that was cut to pieces by Indra. Brihaspati himself was not killed. In his original consciousness, Brihaspati returned home back to Godhead to become an associate of Lord Sankarshan. Here the word alokam means the transcendental world, Vaikuntha Loka, where Sankarshan eternally resides. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 12th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Brihaspati's Glorious Death. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, Srila Prabhupada begins his translation by saying, Parikshit Maharaj, subduer of enemies, no, Harimdama. So, this is a very important way of addressing. Every time in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita also, where Krishna is addressing Arjuna, or where Shukadeva Goswami is addressing Parikshit Maharaj, or someone is addressing someone else, there's a great significance in the way that they are being addressed. So, especially Parikshit Maharaj, subduer of enemies. So what are the enemies? Kama, krodha, moha. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsadya. These are the enemies. So, by hearing this pastime and addressing Parikshit Maharaj in this way, Shukadeva Goswami is indicating to us that if we want to subdue these enemies, we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. And especially, this particular pastime of Brihaspati is very, very important for subduing the enemies. Because, just like there's one verse in the 11th canto, which I can't remember, but I think I never memorized it, that's why I can't remember. So that verse says that sometimes everything is reversed to fulfill the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see that here the virtuous person was Brihaspati, who was a demon. And the sinful person was Indra, who killed his brother, killed a Brahmin. And of course, in the previous chapter, where Brihaspati reveals his position which was always there, but he revealed it to everyone. When the demigods, Indra, attacked, and Vritrasura, the demigods actually attacked the demons when they were running away. So then he addressed them that, no, what kind of heroes are you? You are in charge of the universe and you're doing this? And then he speaks to their leader. No wonder they're doing this, because the leader is a killer of Brahmins. No. Not only killer of Brahmins, but a Brahmin who he was in charge to worship. No. But being very concerned about the three things that Lord Chaitanya warns us not to be concerned about, Dana Jana Sundari, no. This is Indra's biggest problem. He's always concerned, just like now we're in the month of Kartik and we celebrate Govardhan Leela. So the whole Govardhan Leela begins by Indra's desire for Jana. No. I must be worshipped. How can someone be worshipped before me? No. So this is the position of a devotee. Just like Vritrasura, even in the very beginning, before he became Vritrasura, when he was still Chitraketu, no. Then after he was cursed by Parvati, then he was smiling, he was laughing, and he said, thank you. No. Because he considered that the blessing of Shiva or Parvati must be an instrument in the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he demonstrated the position of a devotee, which Lord Shiva told his wife, Swarga Pavarga Nartakeshvapi Tulyarta Darshanam. But the position of a devotee is that they're always satisfied. They can be satisfied in heavenly planets, they can be satisfied in hellish planets, they can be satisfied anywhere. Now, practically this whole planet is a hellish planet. Kali Yuga means that this earth planet becomes practically a hellish planet. But because the human being, as Srila Prabhupada explains, is sarvagata, stated in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada explains sarvagata, apart from meaning being everywhere, it means that they can go everywhere and they will adopt. They will adopt to that situation. So we're thinking it's very nice, but actually there's so many miseries everywhere. But we're thinking, somehow or another, if I can find some little corner of this planet, of the material world, then I can be happy. If I can find some place where I can have some money and some dana, some jana, some recognition, and association with the opposite sex, then I'm happy. So, Indra, he's always thinking in this way. He has such a venerable position, but he's always thinking, Dana, Jana, Sundari. Of course, he became, even his bodily condition of having so many eyes. First it was many genitals, and then they were converted into eyes, so it would be very embarrassing, to be the king of heaven and have all these organs all over the body, so they were converted into eyes. But even with so many eyes, he cannot see. Because the material eyes are not so good for seeing things. Actually, everything they see is generally illusory. Just like we see one another, and we think this is so-and-so, but that's not so-and-so, that is their body. We're thinking so-and-so is like this, and the way that the modes of nature are covering him. No, we categorize everyone. This person's like this, that person's like that. We have them all designated in different ways. No. And we're not seeing the spirit soul. And therefore the emphasis here is, O Pariksha Maharaj, you that have the proper vision, you can see what the demigods could not see. Of course, the demigods saw in this verse that Atmajonir, that the spirit soul penetrated, came out of the body. We see this so many times, that when Krishna, or when a devotee is liberated, or when Krishna kills a demon, that the soul appears And everyone sees it, to see the glorious position of being the Lord's devotee. So this is demonstrated. This was demonstrated to the demigods, the fact that they could have this vision, because they didn't have this vision previously. They were trying to kill Vritrasura. And Indra, he was preached to by Vritrasura. And of course, in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada refers to some of the previous verses, and he says that actually it was not Vritrasura that was killed, it was Indra. And Indra, what did he kill? Vritrasura killed his pride. When a devotee gives a blessing to someone, then that must be carried out. Therefore, Indra, and anyone who heard Vritrasura speaking to Indra, he said, Indra, you will not be killed in this battle between you and I. You will become victorious. Apparently, you will become victorious. And I will be killed. And you will get what you want. You want wealth. You want fame. No. And I will get what I want. I want to go back home, back to Godhead, and be the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in that way, Indra was killed, meaning that he was condemned. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, and Srila Prabhupada repeated this many times, that yasyaham ananugrinami harisye taddanam shanai. That when the Lord wants to bless his devotee, then he takes away everything. And otherwise, when a devotee is a little bit attached, even Sudam Brahman, he was a little bit attached. He was a little bit attached to being poor. No. Otherwise, devotee is not attached to anything, as Krishna explains in the end of the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that a devotee is not attached nor detached from anything. A devotee is attached to maya sakta manapata yogam yunja marashayaha. A devotee is attached, his mind is attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is a devotee's attachment. Otherwise he has no attachment. No. Krishna bhakta nishkam atta eva shanta. No. He is always peaceful and always satisfied, and therefore he has no attachment to these external things in the material world. No. So Indra, he was cursed. No. He was thinking, I'll be blessed, or I'm not going to be killed. But to show that this type of mentality of wanting, thinking that I will approach, that my duty in life or my purpose in life or my goal in life is to become prosperous in this material world. No. First of all, it is a mistake. No. Because it's explained again and again in Shastra, and Srila Prabhupada explained again and again. Prahlad Maharaj explained, so many places in the Bhagavatam, it's explained. Narada Muni explained to Vyasadeva that happiness and distress are already established in our life. That karma, the complexities of karma, as Krishna says in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the intricacies of karma are very difficult to understand. And how much karma we have. So therefore, the only person who can actually change their situation in this world, in this life, is a devotee. No one else can change. Too much karma. Even too much karma in the mode of goodness. If you do so many wonderful things, pious activities, then you will acquire so many pious activities. Just like when Lord Nrisimhadev was offering blessings to Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj said, no, I don't want to do business with you. So, Lord Nrisimhadev, he offered one blessing after another, and finally he accepted. Prahlad Maharaj said, just give me your devotional service birth after birth. But then Nrisimhadev said, that I will give you, but now you must accept to be the king of the demons. And because by doing that, you will receive so many wonderful material situations where you can burn away all of your pious activities. No. And you will be able to do austerities where you can burn away all of your sinful activities. Of course, Prahlad Maharaj had no sinful activities, but just to show others, because he was born in a demoniac family, when he began his prayers to Lord Nrsimhadev, he said, "How can I pray to you? I have demoniac blood running through my veins. How can I pray to you?" But in any case, he considered himself a demon. Just like Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they considered themselves to be sinful because they had taken a position in the Mohammedan government. And Haridas Thakur considered himself to be most unfortunate because he was born in a low family, low birth. And Vritrasura, although he prayed and he spoke as a pure devotee, he considered himself to be a demon. And so therefore, we should also consider that whatever situation we are in, we should be satisfied and simply try to follow in the footsteps of Vritrasura, to go back home, back to Godhead. Not to try to change so much. Don't make so much effort to change the situation in this world. Change the world's situation. Not your situation in the world, but the world's situation. That is Srila Prabhupada's mission. That by the Sankirtan Yajna, by distributing books, prasadam, and the holy name, that we can change the world's situation. Actually, in 1975, there was some trouble with Pakistan, India. So Prabhupada told the leaders, he told his leaders at that time, that there will be a war, and that the U.S. will join the side of Pakistan and Russia will join the side of India. So then 1 year passed, no war, and then the leaders asked Srila Prabhupada, "So, Prabhupada, what happened to the war?" And Prabhupada said, "Oh, Krishna changed his mind." No. And then he said, "Because of the Sankirtan movement." No. So the Sankirtan movement, although it seems like, well, we're just a few people, maybe how many devotees here doing Sankirtan? How many, more or less? 30? 30 devotees. No. He said 30. Some places that would be 3. No. It's like when I joined, Prabhupada said that one person can stay back and do puja and cook and everybody else goes on Sankirtan. And nowadays, everybody stays back and one person goes on Sankirtan. So, this is Kali Yuga. No. So 30 devotees, very insignificant. According to the population of, even according to how many devotees are here, or population of Bombay, population of India, maybe a few hundred devotees are going out on Sankirtan all over India. No, maybe 500, 600 devotees. No. And there are, how many crores of people? No. So what is our, but that little tiny bit, that little tiny bit will make so much difference. Because one devotee makes so much difference. It's like one time I came to Vrindavan first time, and I met, many of you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhu, Pujari, an artist, sculptor in Vrindavan. So I met him. And he told us, previously he was in Costa Rica, I was in Costa Rica at that time. He said, "Well, I have one very valuable camera worth $10,000. And in those days, $10,000 was like $100,000. So he said, "You just have to go get it from this Captain Cook, some strange man." So I went and I found out he was living in the jungle. So I had to go into the jungle, first by bus, then by mule, and then by walking, and then by canoe, on the river, in the jungle. Nobody was there. Just one canoe going by every 2 hours. So I came to this one island. I had to wait for another canoe. So while I was waiting there, one German man came in a canoe. And he goes, "No, I can't believe it. The Hare Krishnas are everywhere, even in the jungle." So even though we may be very, seemingly very insignificant, just like it says here two times, Atma Jyoti and Alokam. And Srila Prabhupada says, with the potency of the Brahman effulgence. So the soul has the full potency of the Brahman effulgence and can be empowered by Krishna. Krishna Shakti Bina Nahi Tara Pravartana. And to preach Krishna consciousness, to do Sankirtan, to preach, to spread Krishna consciousness, to perform this Sankirtan Jagya, to participate in this Sankirtan Jagya, you have to be empowered by Krishna. Even someone who gives a donation just to distribute books or to build a magnificent temple or to do anything, they must be empowered by Krishna. Otherwise they will be too attached to their money. But when Krishna empowers someone by the words of Bhagavad Gita and the words of Srimad Bhagavatam and the blessings of the devotee, so the devotee is blessing everyone. Please give up your material fortune, which means please give it to Krishna. Give as much as you can to Krishna. Just like Sri Haridas Thakur, when he was condemned to, first he was put into prison. So he came before the Nawab and the evil Qazi was there. So the Qazi wanted to kill him, but the Nawab, of course, he could see he's holy man. So he said, "Just cooperate with us." And so, okay, put him into jail. So they put him into jail. And what did he do? He preached. And the first thing he said was to all the prisoners there, he said, "May you all remain in this position eternally." And then they all, "Oh no." They thought, here we are in prison, and his blessing is that we may remain in prison eternally. So this is how we think sometimes when someone preaches to us. So especially if you're new to Krishna consciousness, "I have to give this up, I have to give this up." We don't think, "I'm getting Krishna. I'm getting Krishna's lotus feet." So this is what was happening here. Indra's thinking, "If I don't kill this demon, I will have to give up my heavenly position." And even though Bhrtasura blessed him, said, "You will never give this up." Which is actually a curse. Although the prisoners thought that Haridas Thakur was cursing them, he was saying, no, please don't misunderstand. Now I have come here and I am chanting the holy name and you are all taking up the holy name. So never give up this position. This is real wealth. This is the real blessing. Not that the blessing means that you get something in this world. Getting something in this world and not being able to use it in Krishna's service, that is a curse. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Jukta Vairagya Muchete. That the way we gain Krishna's lotus feet, the way we gain Krishna's blessing, and the way we can become detached from this world is becoming attached to Krishna. Then, whatever you have, even if you have crores and crores and crores and crores of rupees, or you have a big intelligence, or you will give it up. You will give up the ownership. This is a devotee because a devotee is satisfied in Krishna's service. Yadichcha labha santushto. Krishna says that a devotee, first of all, is satisfied with whatever comes of its own accord. And dvandha tito nimatsaraha. And he's, by doing that, by being satisfied, he becomes freed from the modes of nature. Because the modes of nature can only work if we're attached. If we're detached, if we're attached to Krishna, then the modes of nature cannot work so well on us. They may be able to affect our body, but they cannot affect our consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada said, this is like being in a boat. In a boat on the ocean, there's so many big waves and the boat is moving. But you are protected by the boat. The waves cannot touch you. So when we're actually serving Krishna, even though the modes of nature may grapple with our body, may push our body this way, that way, may try to affect our mind. A devotee is fixed on Krishna. So, this was the situation, this was the position of Parikshit Maharaj. He's being told by Shukadev Goswami, learn from this pastime. What is happening here? That actually Indra was killed. And how is it that even physically Indra survived? Because Vritrasura, he knew that he had to give up his body, and he knew that Indra had to continue as the king of heaven. This was the Lord's desire. Sometimes devotees always ask me, how do we know what Krishna wants? And I'm astounded that they ask that, because there's Bhagavad Gita. If you want to know what Krishna wants, there's Bhagavad Gita. And if you want to know anything, if you've already mastered Bhagavad Gita and you have it fully under control, then you go to Guru Maharaj or sadhus and you say, what does Krishna further want? If Bhagavad Gita is not enough, then you can ask the sadhus, what does Krishna want? And if that's still not enough, then you can read Uddhava Gita. Just like I've noticed in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his writings, practically 80% of everything he quotes is from Bhagavad Gita or Uddhava Gita. So there is everything. What does Krishna want? So obvious, what does Krishna want? So Vritrasura, he wanted what Krishna wanted. Even though, materially speaking, it was a very unfavorable situation. He had to allow Indra to live, although by the principles, Kshatriya principles, Indra had to be killed. So just in the same way that Arjuna was put to test, how do I kill Ashwatthama, because this is Krishna's desire and Bhima's desire, and how do I save him because this is Draupadi's desire. Anyone who's married understands you can never go against the wishes of your wife. Otherwise, big problem. Anyone who's married knows this very, very well. So he was in this situation. And then Krishna gave him the intelligence. So Vritrasura was in the same kind of situation. I have to kill by Kshatriya principles, by moral principles, by Vedic principles, I have to kill him. At the same time, that the Lord doesn't want him to be killed. So how can I kill him and not kill him at the same time? So here it is explained. He swallowed him. And even Indra knew that he had already sent his thunderbolt. And the thunderbolt was going around, to Surya's neck. Nothing was happening. A very, maybe some little tiny nick. Like shaving, you make it some little cut. So he got some little cut. And Indra was very concerned. And Indra himself was thinking, wait a minute, he told me I would live. And now, And then he swallowed him. But then Vritrasura said, now I have killed him. Meaning, now I have shown the world that Indra's actions are not, they are not acceptable. I have defeated him. I have killed him. So then he stopped his life force by yogic power. Just like Haridas Thakur stopped his life force and went into samadhi. So Vritrasura went into samadhi because just like Bhishma, he had the choice, being such a powerful devotee, he could decide when I will go back home, back to Godhead. This was not a favorable time. He had to wait for the proper time by yogic power. So he withdrew himself from the body, and therefore his digestive system stopped. Because otherwise, with such a big, powerful, demoniac digestive system, Indra would have been dissolved, immediately, consumed. But he stopped it. And therefore, by doing that, Indra could easily break out. And then Indra thought, now I have become victorious. And therefore, we see that again and again, Indra, Here we see, what is the title of the next chapter? King Indra afflicted by sinful reaction. He could not listen to Vritrasura. He could not listen to so many people. He could not listen to Krishna. No. Only when he realized that I am totally defeated. Even up to the seventh day of Govardhan Lila, he was still sending clouds, and the clouds were coming back saying, we have no effect. Then he sent one of his messengers. Are they dead yet? That was his, you know, 7 days. He wanted to kill the cows. He wanted to kill Krishna. He wanted to kill the residents of Vrindavan. Just see how dangerous material desire is. You know? We can also kill Krishna in the sense of Krishna, how much Krishna has affected us, how much Krishna has gone into our heart. You know? We can kill that. You know? We can certainly do that by material desire. We have the same desire, Dana Jana Sundari. Then Krishna will be, he's there, but he will be covered. No. He will be covered. So we have to be very careful to worship Krishna, which means that we accept, no, we accept what Krishna wanted. Just like here, all of you live in this very opulent temple. When Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur and they were building the temple, oh, this is such a beautiful, magnificent, luxurious place. So Prabhupada was living in a hut, in a thatched roof hut. And so Prabhupada was sitting with his disciples, and he pointed to the temple, which was just being built. And he said, that is Rajagun. This is Sattvagun. No. But we can use Rajagun for Krishna's service. We can live in a palatial building, or we can live in a hut, or we can live under a tree. So, we have to accept, okay, Krishna has placed me in this opulent place, but my duty is the same. Just like I mentioned Sudam Brahman. He came back to his house, and it wasn't even a house, it wasn't even a palace. It was a whole city practically. Gardens and fountains and palaces and residences and servants. And Rukmini Devi, because Krishna, she would have had to give him more than that. She, practically speaking, would have had to give him a whole planet. No. Because just by eating one small palmful of rice, sometimes it says one chipped rice, and, you know, depends on how you translate it. But whatever it was, only one time he took. And then she said, don't take any more. For she was concerned about him getting indigestion, no, Krishna. But she was also thinking, if you give more, I will have to give the whole three worlds. This Sudam, this, you know, he's not, he, how can he rule the three worlds? No, he's just a poor Brahmin. But she was thinking like that. So she gave him a minute, very small, because Krishna said, just give him enough that he can overcome his attachment, which was to be very poor. He wanted to be very poor. So Krishna doesn't want his devotee to be poor or rich or anything. Krishna wants his devotee to be fully dedicated to him. Because although Krishna says, when I favor my devotee and he has some attachment, I take everything away. When he has no attachment, Krishna wants to give him everything. This is stated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That, yes, initially he may take it away, but he wants to give everything. So if anyone, just like I had one disciple from Jewish family, you know, so Jewish family, they're famous for being attached to money. You know. So he came to me one day, he read that verse, and he said, I just read this verse, and it says that Krishna will take everything away if he favors me. So please tell Krishna not to favor me too much. You know? he asked like that. And I said, whatever Krishna does, you will be happy. They said, well, yeah, but maybe he can do that later. And whatever Krishna does, you will be happy. And everything will be perfect. That is guaranteed. So finally he accepted after like 10 minutes of arguing and trying to make his point. So I told him that if you become too attached to wealth, then Krishna may take it away. So therefore you should immediately give a donation. After reading that verse, you should give a donation to the temple. Then that's the best way. Detach yourself. No. Always, when you give something, give a little more than is comfortable. Make it a little uncomfortable. Because otherwise there's no yajna. No. There's no jagya in giving Krishna my remnants. No. This is something extra. Okay, so I have something extra, I give it to Krishna. Then there's no jagya. No. The jagya is when I give something and a little bit of sacrifice is there. Then it becomes jagya. No. Otherwise, no, giving Krishna remnants is not a very good idea. No. Not a very good way to secure our spiritual life. So anyway, these are some points. I just to conclude. Now, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in his word for word here, alokam, the supreme abode filled with Brahman effulgence. But then, samapadyata. But because samapadyata, because there is prapadya, because there is surrender, then, because of that surrender, it means that he went to Vaikuntha. Even though it was alokam, very effulgent, the Brahman effulgence is there, full of Brahman effulgence, but he did not go to the Brahman effulgence. He went to Krishna's lotus feet. A devotee would never be satisfied. No? Kaivalyam narakayate. As Sri Prabhudhananda Saraswati Thakur says, a devotee sees the Brahman effulgence like a hellish situation. So, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Rupa Goswami, he spoke about the bhakti latta, that this bhakti latta will grow and grow until it penetrates the Brahman. So Srila Prabhupada mentions there, and mentions especially in one class, that we have to be very careful to penetrate the Brahman. You can't stay there. But what does it mean to stay there? Now, we can all think, oh, I'm a devotee. No, I'm practicing. Why would I want to go to Brahman? But actually, what Srila Prabhupada was speaking about is that when you actually come to the Brahman realization, because a devotee coming from attachment to this body, attachment to the mind, attachment to the intelligence, attachment to my designations, then the next is that you become in the place free from the modes of nature. So when a devotee feels himself free from the modes of nature, he may become very comfortable. But Srila Prabhupada is saying essentially, don't become comfortable. Don't be just happy that now I'm very nicely situated. But go to the lotus feet of Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. And surrendering to Krishna means that we have to do what Guru, Shastra and Sadhu says. We have to do what Krishna says. Don't become comfortable in the Brahman. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that when one is on the neophyte platform, that one's realization is basically on the platform of Brahman. Otherwise, one is trying to become satisfied. This is one's understanding of what is spiritual life. Then when one becomes at the platform of Madhyamadhikari, then our consciousness may have the realization of Paramatma. That yes, I have to worship the Lord, I have my duty, these things. But we want to go to the platform of Uttamadhikari, where I only want to please Krishna, I only want to love Krishna. This is surrender. So we can only do this by the blessing of the Acharyas, by the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, by the blessings of Sri Guru and Gauranga. Otherwise, we can get stuck somewhere in between. Meaning that we may be worshipping the deity, but our consciousness may not be on the level of Radha Krishna. I may be worshipping Shishi Radha Rasa Bihari, but my consciousness may not be on that level. So we have to be very careful, as it says here in the last part of the verse, to go all the way to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from every step of our life, to be situated there at His lotus feet. So I will stop here. There's some points that came to me about this verse. Any comments, any questions? Hare Krishna. Here comes the microphone. That's good because I'm a little deaf, so microphone helps.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. How do we know when we are attached to something or it's Yukta Vairagya? Because many times we keep saying it's Yukta Vairagya. So actually in our heart, how do we know if we are attached to something?
Yeah. In the seventh canto, Srila Prabhupada said even a sannyasi may be attached to his paraphernalia. Kamalalu and his danda and some books. No. Everyone has some attachment. So therefore, as I stated in the class, maya sakta mana aparta yogam yunjan marashrayaha. We have to practice the process of attaching our mind to Krishna. No. And some attachments may be there. Just like there's two very beautiful verses in the 11th canto that teach us how to deal with material attachments, you know, and material desires. Chattashadho Katasuva. I can't remember everything. It's two long verses. But anyway, basically they say that if faith in Krishna becomes prominent in one's heart, but still, and at the same time realizing that material activities and material attachments only lead to misery, you know, and therefore they are not very wonderful. You know. But at the same time, not being able to give them up, what should a devotee do? A devotee should continue to worship Krishna in a happy mood, you know, worshiping with great determination and faith. And whenever those desires come, which they will come, then after they come and after we act on them, then we think, that was unnecessary. It will only lead to misery. And therefore we repent. Krishna, next time give me the strength to overcome these things. But if we just think, well, that's life, you know. Everybody else is doing it, why can't I do it? No. And, you know, I can't resist. If we think like that, then we won't be able to resist. So the point is, in dealing with material desires, every time they come, we deal with them in the proper way. And then gradually they'll go away. As Srila Prabhupada said, it's a gradual process. You know? So gradual process means that we have to fight constantly against material desires. You know? But we shouldn't let them gain ground. As Prabhupada said, whatever you have when you come to this movement, you can keep that, but then you shouldn't acquire any more. So the same thing with material desires. Whatever desires we may have when we come, let me not increase them. Let me deal with them. That may take a whole lifetime. But if I increase them, then guaranteed it will take you more than one lifetime. No. Maybe many, many lifetimes. So just a few desires that we have or however many desires we have, we should work on them from that point on. We should work on them. Then they'll go away. Any other question? Yes. Here's.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, the last instruction, whenever a devotee of Krishna gives a discourse, the last instruction which he says is always remembered. Because if the class is of 1 hour, then the last the devotee says in the beginning is all forgotten. The last instruction is always remembered. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, the last instruction given by Krishna is about renunciation. The last chapter speaks of renunciation. So I would like to know from you, what is actually renunciation? Can you define what is renunciation in principle and practice? You also said that Haridas Thakur took Samadhi. So I would like to know about renunciation. What is renunciation actually? Can you define it in principle as well as practice? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yes. You are. I first have to finish this here. So, the principle is sarvadhammam paricharya mamekam sharanam braja. This is the overlying principle in dealing with any kind of situation in this world. If we surrender to Krishna, then whatever situation we may have, whatever amount of advancement we make, and then there's some obstacle, there's some difficulty, we just continue to try to surrender to Krishna. And That is the underlying principle. Of all the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava, the Swarup Lakshana is surrender. So we have to develop that quality. And if we develop that quality, all the other qualities, humility, compassion, friendship, and all the 26 qualities will develop. But if we don't develop that quality, otherwise if our surrender is not always the priority in our life, then anything can happen. And we can become proud of any of the other 25 qualities. We can become proud of them. We can become proud of being humble. I'm very humble. I'm more humble than anyone else. We can become proud of being poetic. We can be proud of being friendly. We can be proud of being compassionate. Just see how I helped this person. Just see how I did this. This is the underlying principle of all principles. And of course, the underlying principle of that surrendering principle is what is stated that, what is that verse from Vishnu Purana? Smartavyasatatam Vishnu Vishmartavyo Najatuchit. That doing everything, doing everything to remember Krishna and not forgetting Krishna at any moment, that is the underlying principle of the principle of surrender. And what does it mean to always remember Krishna? What does that mean? Srila Prabhupada gave it very practically. You chant minimum 16 rounds or more and more. And what does it mean not to forget Krishna? You follow the four regulative principles. If you don't follow the principles, then you will forget about Krishna. And if you follow these principles and you chant the holy name, then you will be able to never forget Krishna and always remember Krishna. Sometimes people think that this is the same thing, but it's not the same. One thing is cultivating, awakening our bhakti within the heart, and the other thing is keeping the modes of nature and keeping the body, the mind, and the intelligence and the ego from interfering with our surrender to Krishna. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
According to Lord Chaitanya's mission, the highest goal of life is to attain Krishna Prem. Vratrasura went back to Vaikuntha to associate with Lord Sankarsana. Does it mean that he did not get Krishna Prem?
His Vishnu Prem. No. So devotees in Vaikuntha, they're aspiring for the... This is prema also. Krishna prema is the goal of the devotees who receive the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No. Or devotees who appear in Krishna's lila. No. But that is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We see throughout the Bhagavatam, throughout the first 9 cantos, everything is Vishnu. No. Everyone is going back home, back to Godhead, going to Vaikuntha. No. Only in the 10th canto do we start to understand Krishna praying. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, in his translation, or anyone in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even in the first canto, is speaking about Krishna prema. No. Even when Srila Prabhupada refers to Prahlad Maharaj, he said he was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare, but probably he was chanting, Vishnu mantra, or the names of Vishnu. But because this is what we need to do. So we should consider ourselves extremely fortunate that Krishna prema pradayate, that Lord Chaitanya Mahavandan Yavatar, that he is giving us Krishna prema. We don't even deserve Vishnu prema. We don't even deserve to know about Vishnu. No. So he's giving us all of this knowledge, and for those that will actually surrender to the point of Krishna prema. Because Krishna prema is no easy thing. No. Just like it's stated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that understanding Radha and Krishna is very difficult. And understanding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even more difficult. Otherwise, even Ramananda Roy was so amazed and at the same time bewildered when he saw that Lord Chaitanya became Radha and Krishna. Then he could understand, Mahaprabhu Shri Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Then he could understand, this is the special quality. But to understand, how does that work? How does the Lord do these things? This is inconceivable. And we can only understand it through the holy name and the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Yes. Please speak a little slowly also. You speak very quickly.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, in Bhagavad Gita we find that the last chapter, the conclusion, the professional explanation has maximum number of shlokas, 78 shlokas. Whereas in the 12th chapter about devotional service, there are only 20 shlokas. Why has Krishna given maximum shlokas in the last chapter, renunciation, and very few shlokas in the 12th chapter? 12th chapter is about devotional service. There are only 20 shlokas. Can you, tell about that?
So which verse are you referring to at the end?
Pardon, Maharaj?
You said in the first chapter?
In the last chapter,
yeah,
18th
yeah.
chapter,
chapter
there are
yes,
many shlokas, 78 shlokas are there.
Yeah.
And in the 12th chapter, devotional service, there are only 20 shlokas.
Mm-hmm.
So why has Krishna given so many shlokas in the last chapter and about devotional service is being very less, only 20 shlokas are there?
Because the middle of Bhagavad Gita is the, as Srila Prabhupada said, as our acharyas say, the middle of Bhagavad Gita is speaking about bhakti. Now, first, you get sankhya, which means, how do I come to the point where I can practice bhakti, where there won't be so much interference from a mistaken concept? If I can understand I'm the spirit soul, then we go into bhakti. But then once you understand, and Krishna says in the last few verses of the 12th chapter, that this person who is very dear to me gives up all envy, gives up, is friendly to everyone, and all the things that he said. Then, why does he, the last part is speaking about the modes of nature. Then he's telling us, don't let this interfere with your bhakti. If you want to maintain your bhakti, then you have to understand how these modes of nature will work, so that we don't confuse that our understanding of bhakti was something happening in the modes of nature. Just like we see Radha and Krishna. So in order that we don't try to compare our rasa with Radha and Krishna's rasa, then we have to understand the philosophy very deeply. So in the same way, Krishna explains in the middle of Bhagavad Gita, which is the most confidential part, but he makes sure that we don't become misled by the three modes of nature, especially the mode of goodness can become very tricky. And therefore, Krishna explains that the mode of goodness leads one to happiness in this world. And knowledge, you get knowledge, you feel good with very little, then one starts to think, oh, I'm very nice, I'm very happy, I'm very advanced, I'm better than everyone else. So Krishna has to warn us, once your bhakti comes, don't let it become mixed with material conceptions. Yes, sir.
मैं आप बोले हम लोग इस आंख से जो भी देखते हैं वो सही नहीं रहता है और हम लोग को आध्यात्मिक चीज देखने के लिए आध्यात्मिक आंख होना चाहिए लेकिन हम लोगों के पास तो यही दो आंख है और जो भी देखते हैं उसको सही ही देखते हैं.
I didn't quite. Can you give me that? I didn't quite hear that. Yes. Yeah, we have material eyes. So Krishna says in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Gyanachakshu, Pashyatam Gyanachakshu Shaha, that by hearing this Bhagavad Gita and even reading it with our material eyes, but purifying it with our chanting of the holy name, then we can develop Gyanachakshu, eyes of knowledge. And by those eyes of knowledge, we can conduct our activities in such a way that our bhakti will be able to blossom And then Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Then we get the eyes of the heart. No? The eye of the heart wakens up, then we can see Krishna. No? So we have to go from material eyes to the eye of the heart. First the eye of the body, then we see, with the eye of the body we see Gornitai, Shri Radha Rasa Bihari, Shri Sitaram, Srila Prabhupada, Vaishnavas. Then, with the eyes of knowledge, by hearing, we see the process of bhakti. And by the eye of the heart, by the blessings of the Vaishnavas, then we can develop purity and see Krishna. Now. So, thank you very much for your kind attention. All glory to Shri Guru, Shri Gauranga, Shri Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Tai Gaur Premanandi.